looking at that, this series coming up. It's titled One Piece. And if we're angry, we can't have peace on the inside. It's just turmoil. Recklessness on the inside. And so praise God, we're going to be looking at that. And I tell you what, if you're somebody that struggles with anger, and I don't care what your age is, go talk to Tyler. Because I'm telling you right now, he has been transformed.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
you so much. No longer does anger rule his life. That's really exciting to see. Before I go into the message here, I've got a couple of guys that I want to recognize. And these guys have been through RLA. And just in case you don't know what RLA is, it's Reach Leadership Academy. Those who go through it, these guys, just to kind of give you an idea, maybe you don't understand or know what it is. It's basically 3 days out of the week that these young people are giving of their time, from 6 o'clock in the morning on Tuesdays till 4 o'clock, and then 6 o'clock in the morning on Wednesdays till about 9:15, 9:30. And then 6 o'clock on Thursday mornings till 4 o'clock, at least, sometimes later, depending on what we got going on. But then they're part of all the different outreaches that we do. And then Sunday mornings, they're here at least 2 hours before service begins. And they've been doing a lot. They also, you know, gone through the Reach School of Ministry, and I appreciate these two guys very much. Something that I was sharing with Michael this morning specifically was, I was like, you know, I said, Michael, it is a big deal that you've made it through. I'm like, because, you know, it would sound like a bad thing, but half the people that have started RLA haven't been able to finish it. I'm like, it's not so much the difficulty of the workout or the running that they have to do or the different things that maybe they don't want to do but they have to do. It doesn't have to do with that. What it has to do with, it has to do with them learning to control their mind and also growing in their spirit. Because there's a lot of times they have to say no to me, and I'm talking about themselves, no to themselves, and yes to whatever it is that they've been told to do. And a lot of times it ain't comfortable, it's not easy, but they do it. And so I just want to recognize this morning Calvin Edwards and Michael Cobb. So could you guys come up here real quick? Michael, thank you, buddy. I'm going to tell you a little bit about these guys. Calvin, thank you. Michael. No, this is a good thing. Michael right here, he is willing to do whatever. Now, it's not always at the pace that I see it to be done, but he's He is. He's willing to do it, and he gets it done. And Michael, I appreciate that, man. You see, here, Michael started coming here in high school. Michael did not have a mom and dad telling him, hey, get to church. Michael decided on his own to get to church. Michael, I'm really proud of you, buddy. Amen. And I appreciate everything that you've done, man, for sure. And then, of course, Calvin. Calvin, he does things that, you know, tell him to do, get it done, and his speed's a little bit faster than Michael's a lot of times, but Calvin, it's a little unique because he's a buddy to Tanner. And Tanner left, you know, this year for college, and so it was kind of cool because Calvin was kind of like filling in for Tanner, you know, while Tanner was gone, and so it's just been, I think, good for me and him. Calvin started doing, you know, the live streaming and getting video stuff done and all that, and so he's kind of worked himself into a part-time job here with the video stuff and the graphics and everything. So I tell you what I appreciate about both of these guys. And I've already said it, but I just reiterate it. Both of these guys, it doesn't matter what they were told to do. They figured out a way to get it done. And it speaks a lot. You know, I sent out a leadership text, leadership lifter this past Friday, and talked about faithfulness, and that's what you're looking for, you know. As far as the scripture that I sent out, you know, it was talking about managers, and says, hey, if you're looking for a manager, make sure that you find someone that's faithful. That's the key. And both of these guys are faithful. Pretty awesome. And I love you guys. Praise God. God is good. And he's good all the time. Father, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, I pray that you guide and direct every word out of my mouth. Every word out of every teacher's mouth in this place. Help us to be completely submitted to what you want us to say and do. We thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, and saying that, with that leadership lifter, you know, the leadership breakfast, that we've got, the Reach Leadership Breakfast, it's for anyone to come. If you're out of high school, you're welcome to come. I know that, you know, I think there was maybe some confusion last time. Some people, you know, came like, well, I'm not, you know, a leader, you know, quote unquote. You don't have to have a title of a leader in work or here at church. It doesn't matter. Like, everyone's welcome to come and be a part of it. And man, all we're doing is we're just simply looking at leadership and what it means, what it looks like, And so praise the Lord. That's the, you know, the people that came to the breakfast this last time. Those are the people, you know, that have been sending those leadership lifters out to, the ones that wanted it. So I just wanted to maybe clear that up if somebody thought, you know, well, gee, well, how come I'm not part of that? Well, you had the opportunity, you know, but you got an opportunity coming up Saturday, June 3rd, right? June 3rd, yeah, 7 o'clock. So you want to be a part of that? That'd be awesome. This morning, before I get going in God's Word, there's a book that I've been reading. It's called Uprooting Anger, and it's by Robert Jones. The little subtitle or whatever is Biblical Help for a Common Problem. And it's pretty cool. He's got tons of scripture in here that he outlines with what he's speaking on. And you know, one thing he talks about how his grandma always told him that you have to get the weeds by the root. You got to pull up the whole root to get rid of the weeds. And it's kind of that same thing, you know, with anger. Sometimes we just chop, you know, we cut it off at the ground level, you know, and we just say, okay, well, yeah, okay, well, I'm not going to be angry, or I'm going to apologize for being angry, and you just, you know, get it off right there at ground level. But there's a root there that's sitting there waiting to just go ahead and sprout again. And he's got here in chapter 3. Oh, and also, if you're interested in getting this book, Uprooting Anger, and it's by Robert D. Jones, if you're interested in that, we're going to be placing an order this week. If you would like one of these books, if you could just sign up at the resource table so that way we kind of have an idea how many people are interested. You don't have to, but, you know, just whoever wants to. But it's good stuff. But I just want to read a little excerpt out of here. And he talks about Jack and Jill, okay? And he's just kind of giving a story here of Jack and Jill. He says, like you and me, Jack and Jill have an anger problem. Jack blows and Jill clams. He rants and raves. She simmers and stews. It's Thursday. Jack returns at 6:30 from a pressured work day, eager to enjoy a tasty meal and a relaxing evening with his family. Unfortunately, the house is cluttered and the kids are wild. Supper isn't ready. It isn't even started. All I want is to come home to a peaceful house, he yells to Jill. Is that too much to ask? This place is a mess. He then compounds the problem by asking that proverbial provocative question that no right-minded spouse should ever ask. Just what have you been doing all day around here? Jill is so angry, but she doesn't yell back, at least this time. Her anger is more icy blue than red hot. Jill resents Jack's criticism, his yelling, and his lack of tenderness. In turn, she withdraws. She retreats dutifully into the kitchen, licking her wounds, feeling alone and defeated. She mutters to herself her common chorus, if only I had a husband who would accept me as I am. I need to be loved unconditionally, not attacked all the time. Supper, she murmurs. I'd like to dump this hot pasta right over his hot head. How can Jack and Jill learn to handle their sinful anger? Where do they begin the process of changing their outbursts and resentment? As biblical Christians, they know that mere behavioral modification is not enough. Jesus had plenty to say about whitewashed tombs filled with dead bones. Of course, Jack and Jill want to end these frequent fights and replace their sinful words and actions with godly, peaceful behavior. Yet thorough and lasting godly change requires more than outward change. Jack and Jill want and need inward change. To accomplish this change, Jack and Jill must deal with their angry roots. What causes their anger? Our culture offers a myriad of theories. Some theorists think anger flows from deep inner unconscious psychodynamic forces. Murky motives lurk within and impulsively drive us. Others blame anger on past childhood mistreatment. This might include traumatic crises such as physical beatings or sexual molestation. Or it might result from chronic bad nurturing such as parental neglect, dysfunctional family dynamics, or wrong parental modeling of anger in many forms. Others argue that present hardships and current circumstantial suffering produce anger. Offenses against us, unmet emotional needs, or living with angry people make us mad. Medical model proponents see anger arising from physiological factors, fatigue, genetic abnormalities, brain chemical imbalances, hormone deficiencies, or bodily disabilities. Some Christians root anger in direct satanic activity within us, possession or oppression by the devil, or maybe even demons of anger. And every writer decries the plethora of angry athletes, actors, and other cultural heroes paraded before us as unfit role models. Pleading, "I'm not a role model," doesn't exempt them from their influence on their fans. The Bible, of course, recognizes many of these hardships and speaks to them with compassion and robust insight. There is certainly a real devil who lies and deceives. Our outer man is decaying. Illnesses and hormonal changes hamper us and become occasion for sin. In our fallen world, people, past and present, do hurt us and abuse us. Moreover, the Bible recognizes that such factors can exert enormous impact. They tempt and provoke us, making anger easy to develop and difficult to control. Every wise counselor knows the impact of these provocations. Yet provocations are not causes. Jack's perpetually angry dad did not cause Jack's explosiveness. Jill's time of the month makes it harder for her to handle Jack, but it doesn't make her bitter. Scripture resists both the reductionism and the determinism implied in those theories. As divine image bearers, we are not passive machines, but active moral responders accountable to God. We must not allow any of the half dozen types of hardships mentioned above to dehumanize us. We are more than mere reactors. Garbage in, garbage out may explain man-made computers' output, but not the behavior of God's image bearers. Jack and Jill and you and I are not complex robots, but active choosers and responsible free agents before the living Lord. This is really powerful, you know, and there's areas in our life where we have to take responsibility. You know, there's so many times in our life where we're frustrated, and so many times those reasons for the frustration is because we're blaming ourselves, but we want to go ahead and throw the anger on someone else. We have resentment on the inside. You know, we have these things of, boy, I wish I would have done this differently, if I would have just done this differently. And so then what do? We end up disguising that disgust with ourselves with anger towards somebody else because we don't want to take responsibility. And not every situation is like this, but this will, it happens a lot to us. And Jesus, you know, it's pretty awesome because Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 21, this is what we're going to look at this morning. This is in the Amplified. Matthew 5, verse 21, it says, "You have heard that it was said to the men of old, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the court. But I say to you that everyone who continues to be angry with his brother or harbors malice, enmity of heart against him, shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the court. And whoever speaks contemptuously and insultingly to his brother shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You cursed fool, you empty-headed idiot,' shall be liable to and unable to escape the hell, Gehenna, of fire." So if when you are offering your gift at the altar, you there remember that your brother has any grievance against you. This is really cool because Jesus, he's taking this a step further. He's not even talking about somebody doing something to you, but your brother or your sister having a grievance against you. This is powerful. Let's go to the next verse. Leave your gift at the altar and go. He's saying right here, if the Holy Spirit is talking to you and says, you know what? While you're sitting there talking to him and you're going to God and you're talking to him and wanting forgiveness for things that you've done wrong, where you've missed it, to him, Jesus is saying right here, hey, leave that right then and there whenever the Holy Spirit shows you that you need to make amends, you need to figure out what's going on. You better leave and go find your brother or your sister, and you better make it right. This is what Jesus is saying. He says, leave your gift at the altar and go. First, make peace. First, make peace with your brother. And then come back and present your gift. This is powerful. Let's go to the next verse. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way traveling with him, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last fraction of a penny. This is so crazy because Jesus right here, what he's talking about here is he's talking about even in court. He's like, hey, you know what? You probably ought to make sure that you get things together, you get things right, even before you get to the courts. So that way you've taken care of the issue and you don't have to sit there and wonder what the judge or the jury is going to find you. How many times do we go through life and we're angry at someone? And we just let it sit there. We don't even try. Even if it's awkward. I mean, most of the time when we do stuff like this, it's because it's awkward. Or, you know, it seems like somebody's going to get hurt through the deal, so we'll just be, you know, we'll just be the one who suffers. We'll suffer through it for somebody else. That's not what Jesus is telling us to do. Jesus is saying here, hey, you know what? Whenever you're coming and you're asking for forgiveness and something is brought up, God reveals something to you that maybe your brother has an issue with you. He's saying right here, hey, you better stop what you're doing right there and you better go to that brother or that sister and you better figure it out. You better make peace. Peace is where it's at. But so many times, for whatever reason in our life, we don't choose peace. We choose to grab a hold of that offense and get angry. We choose to grab a hold of that bitterness, those thoughts of the wrong that was done to us. Oh man, or it could be even be somebody that you know that we know, a friend or family member, whatever. But we decide to grab a hold of that offense. When will it ever be taken care of? Will we carry it with us and die with it? God doesn't want us living this way. He wants us going to our brother or our sister and getting it worked out so there's peace. And some of us, as crazy as it sounds, some of us have become so comfortable with anger and strife and bitterness that we feel uncomfortable when that's not in our life. When we're feeling peace, it's uncomfortable. And Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you. Not my anger and my bitterness for the wrong that people did me. And so what do we choose when we're going through life? Do we choose to be angry? Or do we choose to figure out a way to be able to live life in peace? In Proverbs, let's go to the next verse. Proverbs 14:29, the Amplified. Says, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding. But he who is hasty of spirit exposes and exalts his folly." This is crazy. So he who is slow to anger has great understanding. In another translation, in parentheses, it says that that they have great has great understanding with self-control. See, our anger can be controlled by self. We'll be looking at scripture. This is just one, but we'll be looking at scripture for several weeks here. Because I'm going to tell you what. Anybody know somebody that's angry? Oh, not everybody knows somebody that's angry. Wow. Okay. Cool. It's not as bad a situation as what I thought it was. Whew. Wow. Oh, every time, you know, if I'm looking through the news, I can find something real quick. Somebody's angry. People find things to get angry about. People are looking for things, reasons to be angry. There's a lot of times people are angry at God. And so many times, there are so many times where that anger is a matter of us not taking care of issues that we have on the inside. Now, obviously, there's a righteous anger. And that's an anger that rises up on the inside from wrong that's done. There's a divine anger, and none of us have that. God's the only one with that. But you know what? The majority of us deal with some issue of human anger. And we'll see, man, we're going to be looking through this, and man, we're going to be just plowing through this together. But do we choose? What choice do we make? Do we choose just to go ahead and cut the weed off at ground level and leave the roots? So that way the next time that something is mentioned about that person or that thing, sprouts right back up. Or do we just make a decision? Just be crying out to God to get that root removed. He desires for us to not be walking around with anger, but to have peace. And He wants us, He tells us in Matthew chapter 5, He tells us that we need to do it like as soon as it is brought to our attention. We need to go to our brother or sister to get it right. And there's so many times it's so much easier to just go ahead and be angry and not face it, not confront it. But the bottom line is, there is healing with it being confronted. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank You for Your word. God, we thank You that we'll be a people, God, that we're not satisfied with being angry. We'll be a people that are seeking peace. We won't be looking for reasons or excuses to be angry. We'll be looking for reasons to be full of peace, joy, and zeal for You, God. We thank You and we praise You for Your word. We thank You that we're people that we look to Your word for guidance and direction. We give You all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to give an opportunity this morning for somebody that may be here and you may not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, Jesus, He made it clear. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Me." Jesus is the only way. There's not many ways to heaven. There's one way, and it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. So you could be somebody here this morning, and man, you know, for whatever reason, you've lived life, and up to this point in your life, you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've never seen the need to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And there might be some others that maybe, man, maybe you've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, but just for whatever reason, you've let other people, stuff, issues, circumstances, but you've allowed something to come between you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. And right now you'd say in your heart, man, you know what? Yeah, he's not Lord of all. So that means he's not Lord at all. So maybe for you, man, maybe it's just a matter of rededicating your life to Jesus Christ this morning. But in either situation, if that's you and you'd say, yeah, you know what? I do. I want a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to experience the love that Jesus Christ has for me. If that's you, would you just lift your hand here? As soon as I see you, you can put it down. I see that hand right there. Anybody else? I see that hand back there. Anybody else? All right, well, here's what we're going to do. And I just encourage you, if you raised your hand, I encourage you, just repeat this prayer after me and be really, truly meaning it from your heart. Because that's what God's looking at. He's looking at your heart. And I just encourage everybody else just to repeat this prayer in support of those who did raise their hand today. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you right now, please forgive me of things I've done wrong. Jesus, thank you for what you did on the cross for me, for dying and rising again, having victory over every sin, every mistake I've ever committed. Jesus, thank you for doing this for me. Jesus, thank you that today I am a child of the King. Today I choose to make you my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Let's give God praise. You know, I'm really excited about what God is, what he's already started doing with anger. You know, it was interesting. On Easter service, more than half of things that were hung on the cross had to do with anger. Remember when Easter we wrote something down, you know, on the paper that we were pinning to the cross. More than half had mentioned anger. Church. We are going to see God move. We've already seen it in Tyler's life.
what Tyler was speaking up there on that video, it was true. He was an angry person. But you talk to him today, you would not know it. And the key was Tyler getting rid of that root. That root of bitterness that he was choosing to hold on to. Was the wrong done to him? Yes, absolutely. See, Tyler was choosing to hold on to that wrong that was done to him. But when he decided to let go of that, wow. See, the interesting thing was that story that we were looking at that Jesus was talking about. The interesting thing was, he wasn't talking about somebody wronging me or you. He was talking about someone having an issue with us. See, what he's concerned about, I mean, he loves us. He's an awesome Heavenly Father. He loves us, and it hurts him whenever we've been wronged. But see, what he's concerned about is what we choose to do when we're wronged. Anybody can love somebody that loves them and is kind to them. I'm really excited because God is working within us. And as we just start focusing on what's going on in us, not the wrong that somebody did to us. How are we focusing on how we're going to handle the wrong that was done to us? Every one of us have a reason, an excuse to be angry. We can't believe the lie that we're the only ones, that whatever the situation is or circumstance or whatever, that we're the only ones that that's happened to. Or grotesque the wrong is, he promises that he will work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So it doesn't matter how ugly it is, he'll turn it. He will turn it into something beautiful. worship team.
I can invite the prayer partners to come forward. And I just encourage anybody that would like to receive prayer to come forward at this time too. It's this song. It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of ancient believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born for grateful choir. It's all God's children. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your mighty power to save and to deliver. We thank you for your wisdom, God. And as we go from this place, we thank you that you're guiding our steps, you're guiding our thoughts. Lord, guide us in the path of wisdom. Guide us in the path that leads to life and to love and to peace. We thank you, Lord, for freedom from anger. We thank you for your spirit giving each one of us wisdom how to handle the circumstances and situations that either have already happened to us or that are going to come our way, God. And we just thank you so much that you're an amazing Father, a good God, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You guys are dismissed. Have an awesome rest of your day.